Bam, and we should all be vegan.
Mm, wow. No. Okay. I like bacon too much.
Right. Yeah, you had cheese.
Oh, cheese is good. I just had cheesy garlic bread, didn't I?
Exactly.
Oh. Those Oreos you just had milk in.
Yeah. Actually, I don't drink that much milk, so and I have oat milk, so you know that'd be fine. It's not actually that bad.
How many products do you consume in a day that has milk?
Loads.
Or cheese
actually,
in?
Yeah.
And how do you milk an oak?
How do you
how do you milk?
I'm not going to an oak tree and like tapping it for its sap.
Oak milk.
Oak milk. What a okay. Hello, welcome to Poorly Informed, your favourite podcast of the week featuring Max, Theo, Peter, and myself, the host this week, Will. Now, this week we're talking about an interesting topic that I'm sure many people have very strong opinions on. So we're going to try and unravel this topic and see what we can get from it without resolving into a fight. Those don't tend to go too well, so we'll try and keep this fairly civil. The topic we are talking about today is political correctness. Now, it's something you see a lot in the media and in the news, and there's always these stories of political correctness gone mad, and so on and so forth. And it's a very bandied about term, but we're going to get to the bottom of it and try and figure it out. So, we're going to start with, I'm just going to sort of, this is the Wikipedia definition for political correctness, because I couldn't be bothered to do much more research than that. So, it is defined, and this is what we're going to have the discussion about, I think, to begin with at least. Is the term has come to refer avoiding language or behaviour that can be seen as excluding, marginalising or insulting groups of people considered disadvantaged or discriminated against, especially groups defined by sex or race. So that is the sort of the definition of it we're going to roll with here. Now, this is a topic that a lot of people criticise, and Theo, do you in particular have any criticisms of this that you'd like to bring up in a brief manner before we really start?
Yeah, I think certainly you can take political correctness too far, or you can try and be politically correct so that people don't accuse you of being politically incorrect, and then you just sound a bit stupid. I think people try and soften their words, and people are scared sometimes of saying the truth because they're afraid of being politically incorrect. So they might be afraid of, for example, saying that Christian families are much more dysfunctional because they're afraid that it's politically incorrect to say so. That sort of example, I think, and that's why I don't like political correctness. I think it makes it much harder to tell the truth, makes it much harder to see the real world.
So it handicaps people's ability to be able to say it how it is, as it were. Yeah,
I think okay. You're right.
That's an interesting take. Max, any particular opinions on this?
I'm more of the sort of opinion that it's not needed, and you should just go by the sort of philosophy of don't be a dick, and like, if someone finds something offensive, don't say it to them, but that shouldn't stop you discussing certain topics, especially if you're like a politician. You shouldn't have to shy away from like topics on like gender and whatever. So I don't think we need like some, you know, whatever term saying you can't talk about these things. I think it would just be case by case basis. If you don't want to offend someone, don't say it, but if you need to talk about it, you can talk about it.
Okay, another interesting take. Now, Peter, your thoughts?
I'd say 99.5% of the time, political correctness is good. It is not taken too far. It's a sensible thing. It promotes the most like social welfare, I think. Almost all of the time. Obviously, there are occasions that are brought up heavily and like focused on the media where it is taken to like an extreme that is not logical or not sensible. But for the most part, I agree with it and I think it's good and should be promoted and followed.
Okay, so we have a diverse range of opinions here, which is always good. Now, to start it off, I had a thought when I was thinking about this. Our society already defines there's limits to what people can do. That's why we have laws. And speech is one of those grounds where, with free speech and all this, it seems to be some people try and make it exempt. So I was wondering what everyone's opinions were on why some people may argue that it should be off limits for the law and that free speech is just sort of this free-for-all that anyone can have, which there are certainly arguments for. So, Theo, what would your opinion be with just free speech? What do you think and how that relates to political correctness?
I think the freer the speech, the better. I think the ability to say it how it is quite important. But I think also that doesn't mean you should disregard facts. So you might think Trump is a say it how it is person. Maybe yes, but he also doesn't care for facts. And that's you've got to balance the facts, you've got to balance the truth. But you also need to cool out. You've got to have the freedom, you've got to feel you have the freedom to say things that are unpopular. So I think there was a controversy recently when, so we're all familiar to some degree with the Telford sex abuse, the gangs of preying on children, the vulnerable. And I think it would be correct to call the majority of that gang is British Asian. They are of, maybe they're not Muslim, but they are of Muslim heritage, they're from Muslim families. But when people say this, and I cannot remember who, I'm sorry, but it shows that I'm being quite ironic talking about facts, I can't remember the facts. But when you say that this is a Muslim scandal, when you say this is a British Asian or Pakistani scandal, you get a lot on Twitter or on Facebook, quite a lot of hot water comes your way.
Yeah.
Because people are instinctively, it's a knee-jerk reaction, no, you can't say that. Well, that's the truth, and we need to talk about that. There's clearly something going wrong in the Muslim families in Telford that we need to discuss and we need to work with. And yeah. That's the truth.
Wasn't that the case with the Huddersfield, you know, that whole child grooming thing? Wasn't the reason why the police didn't investigate into that is because they were worried of being accused of racism because of the primarily, you know, British Asian sort of...
But,
it may well have been,
I mean,
I'm not sure.
I'm not going to disagree here, but do you think that free speech should be protected no matter what? Like,
yeah.
Should be enshrined?
I went on a tangent. I didn't really talk about free speech.
Yeah.
Peter, you've got a point. I think there are boundaries, but they're wide boundaries. If we're going to have free speech, that should give you the scope to say almost anything you want to. I think you have basic things, so you have basic swear words that you wouldn't utter in public conversation or polite conversation. You have basic stereotypes that you wouldn't discuss. You have certain ideas, so pushing Nazism is something you wouldn't really do. But I think once you've got beyond those basic protected areas, I think you've got a wide range of scope you should be allowed to talk about.
So could I, for example, start a campaign detailing plans of how to like attack Max and like murder Max?
No.
And start a hate campaign saying kill Max, kill
that would I think that would be illegal.
That would be illegal. So you think the free speech, like some things that go beyond some point, should be illegal?
I think that's one of those areas. And you've got to be careful, because now what I'm just saying is I'm designating more things that should be protected.
Kill Max, kill Max.
I think it should just be you should be able to say whatever you want, as long as you're not advocating committing a crime or anything else to someone else, as long as you're not taking away someone else's rights to free speech or, you know, any of the general human rights or whatever.
Are you hurting a lot of people?
Yeah, it should be like... Yeah,
you are severely hurting Max's welfare.
That's not a lot of
kill
people.
Max. I think a lot of people would feel aggrieved that you were doing that.
Do you think many people would feel aggrieved if I killed Max?
Yes, I think they would. I'm not going to rise to that bait. Yes.
His dog might be sad.
You'd lose the best quarter of this podcast.
Excuse me. Anyway, so with these kind of things... So you're talking about this expanding list of things you'd keep having to add. Now, do you think the government should have a list like that of things that they say, right, if you talk about these, we can lock you up?
Vaguely. Because the thing with the law is it shouldn't be followed to the letter, because that's how you get loopholes that let, you know, someone who's embezzled billions of pounds get away with it. Like, the law shouldn't be followed to the letter. It should be done by the actual... you know, what's actually happened on a case-by-case basis. So that should be the same with free speech and, obviously, by extension, hate speech. So, obviously, if... I don't know, because I don't want to say you take it to court, because getting taken to court over something you say that isn't, like, defamation or whatever is kind of a bit stupid. But if it gets that far, it should be done on a case-by-case basis, rather than saying, you said this word about these people, you're in prison for 10 years.
Max, you've got a point. It's the spirit of the law rather than the rule of the law. So if you're saying it's something that's inciting hatred, such as the Jews are behind 9/11, the Jews are the Rothschilds, the central bankers who rule the world, that's inciting hatred. That's causing harm to the Jewish community. That's not okay. I think maybe you shouldn't curtail it. You should definitely discourage it. But I think if you're saying, okay, most people who vote for Trump are white, less educated, uneducated, working class voters, that's not wrong, that's the truth. We need to talk about that. That's not something that should be discouraged.
You're also not bringing harm to anyone else by saying that, because you're not saying, oh, they are, you know, less educated, rednecks, whatever. You're not saying, oh, and therefore they are stupid, make wrong decisions, and shouldn't be listened to and should be lower in society. You're just stating a fact, or at least, you know, something that can be... It's not an opinion on those people, it is an opinion on something that's happened.
Okay, so that's interesting. So it's very context-specific. Now, what if, in terms of a satire, because, you know, there was this big court case earlier this year where a guy made his pug, was it a pug? It was his dog.
Yeah, it was a pug, yeah.
Do a Nazi salute.
Count Dankula, boys.
Yeah, and he ended up... And he ended up, I think he's serving prison time. I don't know if he's serving prison time, but the law went after him for hate speech laws for something that was, according to him, a joke, but could be seen as very offensive by certain people. And we see the same thing online where people, the memes and all this, they're always people towing the line and going too far. But where do you draw the line between something that's sort of satire and something that has gone beyond that and is now worse?
With the Count Dankula case, it's a super vague line that the law is. It says if the judge finds it grossly inappropriate. So a judge could find anything grossly inappropriate and could then give you jail time for it. It's some vague thing that I really dislike, because I don't want the government being able to say, oh, you said this, I find that grossly inappropriate.
I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I think the line is putting it online. I think he's actually quite entitled to train his dog to do a Nazi salute if he so wishes in the private of his own home. Why should the government be able to regulate what we do in our own homes? They can't regulate what we teach our pets. Putting it online, arguably that's where the line comes in. It's hard to tell, but that's where you're saying, hey, I've trained my dog to do a Nazi salute. I see nothing wrong with this. I think it's absolutely hilarious. Putting it in a place where victims of Nazism and where victims of the Third Reich can sit.
To be fair, it is pretty funny.
It's a funny video.
It's a dog doing a Hitler salute. Like, let's go. No one took it seriously. And just on sort of a tangent, he didn't go to jail, but he did get an £800 fine for it. So that's pretty... It's pretty serious. So I think with that case, he wasn't teaching his dog to go and attack Jewish people when he says whatever. He was teaching a dog to do a Hitler salute. It doesn't hurt anyone. Like, okay, it can be perceived as offensive.
It's a nice dog, though. It's his girlfriend's dog.
His girlfriend's dog.
He was looking after it while she was on holiday. She came back and he taught him to do a Hitler salute.
How did he get him to do it? Like, what was the...
I assume just give him treats. Because, like, you know, dogs... Because doing paw, it's just paw but higher up.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a conversation I wasn't expecting.
Can you train Ned to...
Let's not get into that. Right, okay.
I just thinking with that case, it wasn't actually hurting anyone, unless you account being offended, which is, I think, what much of this debate is going to go into, is whether you should stop people saying something that will offend someone else, and I don't think you should. I think it should just be a moral... It's a moral thing. Like, morals shouldn't be enforced by law. Like, obviously, don't murder someone, but kind of generally, low-level moral decisions shouldn't be enforced by the law. If someone chooses to make their dog do a Hitler salute, it's a bit of a... It can be offensive to some people. It's kind of, you know, not a nice thing to do to those people, but it shouldn't be illegal.
And I think if we apply what you're saying, Max, to the judges, an £800 fine is not... The judge is not really trying to... He's trying to teach him a lesson. He's trying to say the principle of it was wrong. He's not saying, this was a seriously terrible crime. Do you know what I mean? There was no community service. It didn't go into the thousands. £800 is more something, a principle that can be relatively easily paid off.
I feel as though it was only so lenient because of the massive amount of internet traction that it gained and the like outrage that people were having over like these freedom of speech laws being implemented in the precedent it set. I think because it went viral, like people discussed it, thousands of people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people signed a petition, you know. It's like, there's a lot of pressure on the judge to be lenient. And I think we wouldn't have seen that leniency had it not been so famous.
But, I mean, if it wasn't famous, it probably wouldn't have been brought to the judge's attention in the first place, would it? Because there's plenty of dodgy videos on the web that only attract a few views, but are far worse than that. But people haven't been charged for them. Mm. So you could say it's a self-defeating point, really, where the judge was forced to be lenient.
Yeah, but now I just feel stupid.
would it have made a difference to any of you if he had been a neo-Nazi?
Well, I think it's motivation as well. I'm going to keep adding points to my opinion so that it applies to every single sort of scenario.
Situation that we can...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think motives is a big part of it. Like, he clearly wasn't trying to actually offend people or actually, you know, promote hatred against...
If he wanted to do that, he just would have put a video on there talking about neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
Like something properly Nazi.
Yeah, like a dog doing the Hitler salute isn't going to convert anyone. Didn't see Goebbels wasn't going around with like brigades of dogs saluting. So German people were like, wow, that Hitler chap, he's a great guy. So I think it's just kind of... Motives should be a big part when creating discussions on free speech and laws on free speech.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think if he was going to push his... If he was going to push being a neo-Nazi in the video... That's definitely a different topic, because a man is consciously showing very extreme beliefs online and he's trying to incite hatred. He's trying to bring people around to his semi-illegal line of thinking. But if the video is solely a dog saluting, then that's a joke, isn't it?
Okay. Got to the bottom of that. Anything more you want to add, Peter?
No.
Okay. Well, with... On this sort of staying on the same largely related topic, with the political groups, now, because political correctness is very political, it was originally a very sort of political thing before it then spread into the media and these kind of areas, do you think that political groups can have that sort of applied to them when you think of, if there are people supporting a group that you... everyone feels is sort of too extreme, but are there people who do believe this? Does the society as a whole have a responsibility to protect themselves and the members of the society that this group may threaten if people actually do get behind this and people are exercising their democratic right to support something that isn't politically correct, as it were?
So if there was like a Nazi Party 2.0 that had sort of like some support, should it be banned?
Yeah.
If it's advocating stuff. That sort of goes down to a discussion on democracy and whether, because within like a full, you know, perfect democracy, that would be allowed, and you just have to hope that the majority of the population don't support it. But then from an actual welfare of society viewpoint, you obviously don't want people like that running around, getting seats in parliament and being able to vote on things. So I think that's a very hard sort of viewpoint to run with. So if you're for free speech, you've got to be for that. So I suppose I've kind of got to be in favour of, yeah, it should be allowed. But because if the British people want it and that's what they want to vote for, then it's democracy. You've got to let it run its course. So you just got to hope that majority of people aren't racist.
I think there's a difference, though, that you might not be picking up on, like, between like political correctness and hate speech. Hate speech, like, political correctness is not necessarily for stopping hate speech. It's just for not being offensive in most situations. And Nazism is hate speech. Political correctness is just don't say this word, you know, generally. There's a difference, and I think it's a difference that is important and should be kept to better. Or I think lots of the time these arguments are conflating these two things, which aren't the same.
Ah, so it should be more like don't...
Hate speech, no one disagrees. Hate speech should be illegal.
Yeah.
Or not necessarily, hate speech is bad. Political correctness is not necessarily targeting hate speech.
Yeah.
It's targeting insensitivity.
The thing with political correctness is how far do you take it? Like, I don't want to bring out the whole political correctness gone mad, but you can kind of... to what extent do you take it? Like, is that 70-year-old person calling... I don't know, the woman cashier, thanks, sweetie, or thanks something or other. Is that offensive? Should that be banned under...
I don't think anyone thinks that's offensive.
Okay.
No, but you'll have some...
Max, Peter, I've got... So, we're talking about political correctness.
Thank God you intervened. I had no idea where that point was going.
So, let's bring into the game... I realise I'm taking the host mantle from Will. Sorry, Will. Let's bring into the game a few comments from the man who has single-handedly ripped up the political correctness rules. President Trump. So, I'll read out a few comments. Do you guys think they're politically incorrect, or do you guys think actually that's a pretty fair thing to say? So, Donald Trump on terrorists. You have to take out their families. When you get these terrorists, you have to take out their families. They care about their lives. Don't kid yourself. They say they don't care about their lives. You have to take out their families.
I mean, that's just dumb, because isn't the whole reason why the Taliban is powerful is because, you know, airstrikes killed people's families and they're like, oh, we don't like America. So that's just dumb. But I don't think it should be against the law to say it. You should just be recognised as an idiot.
It is a pretty stupid statement. Like, I was reading it and thinking, how does this grammatically work?
I'm fairly sure it's illegal as well. You can't go for someone's... You can't, like... Punishment only exists for one person. Collective punishment of any sort is not...
I think there is a UN something
or other about it. So I think that's not got to do with political correctness. That's just idiocy.
Yeah, because America never breaks any law on international treatment of people.
I think the difference there is if instead of the terrorist who maybe generalised and said a slur or made a comment about religion or something like that, then that would be bordering the territory. But I think that's just...
Okay.
A load of words strung together in an incredibly dumb order.
Right, these are all slightly weak. I'm trying to find a properly good one. Well, I say good one. Right, comment on Mexicans. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. Is that okay to say?
No. Also, when he said bad hombres, that's not good to say either. Just because...
Is that so? Whether it's bad, so are you saying it's politically incorrect
to
accuse Mexicans of being rapists and drug users?
But should he not be allowed to say it?
He should be able to say it, but the universe should unanimously agree.
So this is back to what I was saying at the start, where it's just kind of be a decent person. Like, there shouldn't be any laws reinforcing it. You should just realise that person's a bit of an ass.
What about the fact that there are significant drug wars in Mexico? Does his statement have any grounding in reality?
I, too, have watched Narcos Mexico recently. but also there's a lot of people in Mexico. How many people? Like 20 million people alone live in Mexico City. There's 100 million people in Mexico or something. Because part of the country engages in the sale and production of narcotics, you can't blanket statement that, you know, almost all Mexicans coming in are rapists, murderers and drug dealers. It's not true.
No. So, but isn't that more the responsibility of other people to fact check it / call him out on being wrong rather than him being, you know, fined or arrested just for saying something that's wrong and prejudiced?
You shouldn't be fined or arrested for not following...
It's in those moments where the rest of the world has to stand up and say, no, you're wrong. The reason why we should allow political correctness is because then it provides a challenge to the educated, to the liberal, to the free world to prove themselves and to prove that they know what is good and they know what is sincere and they know what the truth is. Otherwise, if you just regulate everything, then what chance do we have to reaffirm our beliefs? What chance do we have to say, no, we know this is not the case and we're standing up to you, you're a bully, you're a horrible man, you're a rapist.
You're a sexual man. The side of theory we haven't seen before.
you sexually assault someone, you are wrong. And if he didn't say that, would we have that opportunity, as I believe we are all decent people underneath?
It's a bit of a stretch.
Is it not important that we have politically incorrect statements so that we can step up and call him out and we can reaffirm that that's who we are?
But then if politically incorrect statements are kind of this bad thing, then getting rid of them... In a perfect world, would no one say it? I don't know.
Yeah, because on the topic of sort of political correctness and statements, you're going to have to let me talk, because at the start it may start sounding a bit racist. I promise I'm not racist. So you know that...
You can cut this, right? So we can say... <to you.
laughs> He also...
I'll just cut the knot.
we're not having that blue foot at the start, because otherwise that wouldn't make you very racist.
No, I just want there's a clip of him somewhere. The bit, his comment about Hitler's a great guy, I'm going to clip that. I'm going to play it at the beginning.
Every single episode.
Okay, so, you know, there's that statement that's sort of spouted on 4chan and other mildly racist places, which is, what is it, the black people represent 14 or something percent of the American population, but commit around 50% of the crimes. And that is often used as a racist statement saying black people are terrible. But I think, I'm not sure how statistically accurate that is, but it is true that black people commit a larger percent of crimes. But I don't think that's a race thing. I think that's due to, you know, socioeconomic conditions growing up. You know, they're more often in a worse economic situation, which makes crime more likely. They're obviously pursued by the police more. But if we have political correctness laws saying, oh, you can't say things like that, then politicians won't be able to bring that up and talk about the economic conditions, the underlying root of the problem. So it can hinder proper political discussion and solutions to problems.
You can say the fact. You can't then say, this is because black people are all being murderers. There's a difference between stating like numbers which have been found to be, which are true, and then stating a racist reason.
But
the numbers aren't politically incorrect. The racism is.
Because lots of time, like, not just with... You just threw something at me. This is hostile work environment.
Violence has started.
Fight through it, guys. Keep it. We're all behind you.
So, yes, there's lots of times where, although, you know, lots of people be like, oh, it's not racist to say that. Some people would take it as some people do complain, like, sometimes someone will say something and there'll be loads of outcry. It's a thing with the internet where, although a small number of people may be offended, there are 7 billion people on the planet. Those small number of people can email and send lots of harassment, so it makes it seem like lots more people are offended. And that's an issue with political correctness, where a small group of people may take offence at it and protest against it, which...
disproportionately loudly to how many there actually are.
That's the one. Theo just says all my points in a way that actually makes sense. Yeah, so you have this situation where something can be said, oh, that's racist or something, and because the environment that political correctness has created, people have to go sort of along with it, because if they defend it, then they might also get accused of, you know, racism, sexism, whatever.
Yeah, so you have the head of the Waitrose food magazine, who presumably gets hundreds, if not thousands, of emails a day from people who want him to write about this or write about that.
I think you might be overestimating.
I have heard this incredible figure talk about the number of... Anyway, any man who is head of any magazine will get a lot of emails. I can tell you that. And I think he's recently got quite a lot of emails from vegan people saying, oh, run a vegan ad, run a vegan issue, run a vegan issue. And so he clearly got fed up. And so someone sent in one saying, hey, how about we look at, I don't know, vegan lifestyles? And he clearly blew it and said, how about we put all the vegans in a Hunger Games style competition and see which one comes out on top? Now, that is a stupid thing to say, if not very funny. It also has some context, because I think he was quite tight. This is not the first request. It's about the 250th request that he'd had to do a vegan piece. Does he deserve to lose his job over it?
No, I don't think so. Because it's a dumb opinion, but it's clearly not a serious opinion.
No.
I don't think, because if he actually hated vegan people, he wouldn't say that about them, would he?
There'll be definitely more efficient ways to kill a group of people than the Hunger Games as well.
Yeah, be a bit boring. Vegans don't have any energy, you know?
No, I mean...
And to clarify, he resigned... Rodden was sacked, presumably because he thought he would be sacked.
I kind of think he should be sacked, because whatever he did, he's in a position of influence, and he was essentially calling for the deaths of a decent percentage of the world's population.
I think for me, this also is the fact that while I think what he said was, it was a joke. I mean, I think we can agree on that. And in bad taste, sure. But I think if you're in a position of power like that, you have a responsibility to not say stupid stuff. And the fact that he did say that, I think it almost doesn't matter what he said. It's the fact that he said something stupid. It means Waitrose, who everything he does reflects on them, and they can't be seen to be keeping him if he's saying stupid stuff.
So. No, but he said something that affects, what, a 2% of the world? 1%? Only 2.5% of people in the US are vegan. Do you know what I mean?
But that, if anything, makes it worse, because it's targeting a small minority of the population.
But we have all said things that are offensive to a larger proportion of people than vegans. None of us have got into trouble of it. Admittedly, we don't hold moderately decent editorial jobs. But none of us have come into serious hot water about it. Just because he's in a position of power and influence, does that mean he has to moderate his speech anymore? Or is he not in a position where he can encourage debate? And say, okay, this is genuinely, people are badgering me about this, how about this is a funny joke? Do people react disproportionately?
He didn't encourage debate, though.
No, you encourage debate every time you say something that's moderately controversial. You're not actively saying, oh, let's have a debate. You're encouraging people to respond.
But there's no need for it. There was no need for him to call for the deaths of all vegans on the world. Because some vegans asked him to run an article about veganism, which is fair enough. And his response was, "I've had enough. All must die. Death to the vegans. Death to the planet savers." You know, he's not encouraging debate. He could have handled a situation infinitely better by just doing nothing. You know, he could have done things better, and he shouldn't have said that, and he deserved to lose his job. Bam, and we should all be vegan.
Well, as a sort of a final topic to bring up, this is something that we talked about in a podcast that is now about 6-7 months ago that we never released because it was rubbish, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That on social media, because social media companies are private companies, this is not the government, should they be... What is your attitude to them limiting or censoring, as it were, speech on there that does not break any laws but that they feel is inappropriate and should not be on their platform?
I think it's okay because it's free speech, but in the other direction, because they own, you know, let's say Mark Zuckerberg, he owns Facebook. What happens on Facebook, it's his choice. Does he still own Facebook?
He does.
He does, yeah. It's his choice what goes on with it, what you can put on it and everything. So if you don't like it, you can just go somewhere else. Although then that's the problem with all the leading websites.
It's like using a private... But it's like going to a cake shop and saying, "Hi, do you have my favourite specific chocolate cake?" And they say no, and you say, "Okay, I'll go somewhere else." And you get the chocolate. It's a private firm. They are completely within their bounds to do what they want on their forums, on their channels. And the internet is a place where you can just set up more. If you can't find free speech on Facebook, there's other websites where you will be able to. So they're not bound to monitor free speech, they're not bound to clamp down free speech, they're not bound to allow free speech. We just come to expect that they are almost authorised by the law to do so.
Yeah. But what happens when you end up in a situation like with Facebook, where a significant portion of the world's population use this as their primary place for things like getting news and having political discussions, and it arguably plays one of the most important roles in a modern society for changing the discourse of what people are talking about. So do you not think that that gives them a responsibility to ensure that the discussion is sort of useful and not grossly offensive, but then also not censoring things, and not eliminating things that people should be able to see?
No company should feel entitled to have to give someone a microphone and a stage. You can use a service. If they think you've overused their service or you don't represent what their service is about, they can get rid of it. Easy.
I think
this is not a debate.
I think the private firm Facebook allows forums. You should be allowed to use those forums for your private debate, as Peter says. It's then the government's responsibility to monitor the free market and to say, okay, we've got information failure, people are not learning properly, so let's correct that in some way. So have political education classes. That sounds really like... I think
re-education camps.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I've said that before on another podcast. Have politics classes, free politics classes, have opportunities to in schools and universities to learn more about the dangers of social media, so that people are educated, but they should never regulate the firms to clamp down on free speech.
Okay.
I think it's just you're entitled to your opinion, you're just not entitled to... People aren't entitled to have to listen to you.
Yes, I agree with that.
Obama records in one of his books, two senators on Capitol Hill are having a debate, and one senator is obviously losing, and he knows he's losing, and he falls back on the, "Hey, I'm entitled to my own opinion." And the second senator says, "You're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts."
Do you just want to get a cool quote in?
I did. I thought we could end on that and it'd be really moving and it'd be like the poorly informed.
Didn't apply much to the question.
Yeah, no.
Theo, going back to your bakery you brought up, if I was a gay couple on my own, and I went to a Christian bakery and said...
Yes, that's okay. I'm saying this as someone who's, you know, very not religious at all, but churches and religious institutions should be allowed. Like, a Christian church does not have to do a gay marriage if they don't want to. Because if they do and you allow them, and if you say you have to do this, you're forcing your belief on them, and if they say no, they're not forcing their belief on you, you can go elsewhere.
What if you said you were an interracial couple and they turned you down for that?
That's not okay, because in the Bible it says nothing about race.
But say this church believed that, I don't, or maybe some other organisation.
Theologically, most churches would decree that incorrect. Whereas in terms of gay marriage, that's a theological hot issue that a lot of churches would support not allowing gay marriage in a church.
I still think it's okay for them to, like, you can obviously go and protest.
So you're having state sanctioned racism. You're allowing.
No, not allowing racism, because it's not promoting harm against them. It's just saying, we do not support your beliefs, so we do not want you to do it in... Or we don't want to provide a service to you because we don't... It's against our beliefs, or we think it's against
our
beliefs.
There's no basis for not having an interracial marriage conducted in church. There is arguably a theological basis for not conducting a gay marriage in church.
There are Christian arguments for slavery.
And there are Christian arguments against slavery, okay, which eventually brought about the end of the slave trade.
So. Without getting into the whole theological debate, I assure you at some point there will be a podcast on that. What I was more looking at is the fact that should certain private institutions be able to discriminate based on certain... So say you went to a cake shop and they were racist and they didn't like interracial couples. Is that a problem? Is that something... Because otherwise you get... Say you live in a town in the... middle of deep, I'm stereotyping now, somewhere where there's quite like a little bit intolerant, and you're
the Bible Belt,
yeah, Bible Belt, that kind of thing. I hate, sorry if anyone from the Bible Belt,
don't be racist,
yeah, but say you lived in an area that was racist, and say you lived in an area that stereotypically like really didn't like these things, and these things were sort of so common that you could almost not function in a society there if you were say gay or in an interracial couple or something like that, just because of the way it was, everything was stacked up against you and almost everyone held these opinions. Are you not entitled to that people sort of treat you like a basic human being in some degree, so that you are able to function and you're able to go and shop where you want and you are able to park in certain places and get hotels in certain places? Is that not sort of a basic human right?
I think you shouldn't be discriminated on race, gender, sexuality, religion. I think... you can't be a cake shop owner and not sell cakes because of those reasons.
I think if you can prove, if it's a religious motive, I think if you can prove that there's a religious basis for doing so, I think you should be allowed to. I think your right as to do that is protected by the state, but to serve who
religious
you
want.
A private business is not compelled to serve all customers.
But you can't. You also have discrimination, which is illegal, right? Discrimination is illegal, I believe.
Yeah.
And that is discrimination.
So the Supreme Court ruled that they were allowed to do so.
I think that as long as there are alternatives,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
okay. Like, it's morally, it's a terrible thing to do. Like, no one is saying, yes, you should discriminate against gay people. However, they should have the right to do it, and issues like this should be a moral and social issue rather than a legal issue. So they should be allowed to do it. But everyone else should be allowed to say, you're trash, we're going to go over here, you're not going to have any business anymore.
So to show the distinction, there was that clerk in Tennessee who refused to sign the marriage warrant for a gay couple. She is compelled, as an employee of the state, to sign that marriage warrant. She has no legal basis not to do so, because she's a public employee. A private firm has every right to do so. Not to discriminate unless they have... I'm slightly mixing up my arguments here, but... if they can show they have a legitimate basis to do so and religious beliefs are protected by the state, then I think they are allowed to discriminate. And in this case, that means against gay couples.
United Kingdom equality law says it's unlawful to discriminate against a person because they have one of the protected characteristics of age, disability, gender reassignment, marriage and civil partnership, race, religion, belief or sex, or sexual orientation, which outlaws discrimination, access to education, public services, private goods and services or premises in addition to unemployment. Because discrimination is bad and illegal and should not be protected, and anyone who disagrees is a bad person.
Okay, let's talk about, so that Supreme said, you said discrimination is illegal. Belfast Bakery, run by evangelical Christians, was not obliged to make a cake emblazoned with the message "support gay marriage." The Supreme Court has ruled a victory for free speech. Blah blah blah. This is the Guardian. I'm quoting the Guardian. Sorry. Because he said it's not on the basis of discrimination, but on the basis of their personal religious beliefs. So they offered them, I think what they did is they offered them any cake as long as they were allowed not to write support gay marriage on the cake. That was what they were opposed to. They didn't want to have to write the message support gay marriage because then they would be implicitly supporting gay marriage. So they offered them an alternative cake, I think.
This is the crux of a thorny theological matter.
It is.
Which I don't think you have time for.
Yes, I'm afraid that's probably a topic for another time, shall we say, if we can ever get to something like that. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed our podcast. This was just a bit of a whirlwind discussion. We haven't had all that much time about political correctness. And as always with these issues, if you want to get in contact with us, please do. And Theo's going to tell you where you can.
Nice. On Twitter, I've changed the Twitter handle, so I can't remember what it is. Type in the Poorly Informed Podcast. You should see our logo as one of the top options. Email, if you're not on Twitter, or if you want to give us more in-depth feedback, poorlyinformeddiscussion@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch. If you know us personally as well, please do give us feedback. It is what helps this podcast keep running, keep getting better.
Thank you all for listening. I hope today has been an informative debate for everyone. Any final sentences?
Peter, you're wrong.
Oh.
I'm not racist. I just think people should be entitled to their own opinion and can say whatever they want, so long as it doesn't hurt anyone.
As we talked about Nazi dogs this episode, can we call it the story of the Luftwaffe?
God.
We're digging really ourselves a hole here. Anyway, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
See you later.
Luftwaffe, though. Think about it.
It's a good one.
I've had enough. All must die. Death to the vegans. Death to the planet savers.